Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
So I watched Trump's inauguration yesterday, as I'm sure most of our listeners probably would have done, or at least would have known about it if they didn't get a chance to see it. In the UK, it was on during the day on Friday, so many would have been at work. But I happened to be able to watch it. I was in the office, but I'm in the sort of job where I can kind of watch things on YouTube or whatever live, and no one really complains. So I just wanted to kind of provide some thoughts on it, really. It was certainly a historic moment, no doubt about it at all. But it wasn't quite the inauguration I was expecting. I'm not sure why. I'm not entirely sure what I was expecting, really. But I think certainly the last couple of months, ever since it came to light that Trump would be the next president, ever since he won the election back in 2016, I think my personal opinion on Trump has possibly changed a little bit. And at first, I was kind of happy that he won the election because, like many, I felt that he was going to shake things up and he was going to really rock the apple cart, so to speak, and make a big difference and do all these things that he was claiming he was going to do on various outlets, including InfoWars, amazingly. But it started to come to light during December and partly this month as well, January, that he was bringing people in who are essentially very conservative, very hawkish types, many Zionists, for example, many pro-oil, pro-fossil fuel industry types who are really lobbyists, essentially, the kind of people that Trump originally was saying he would drain the swamp of in Washington. But these people seem to be coming in more and more, and there's a flotilla of them coming in, and Trump's kind of like almost giving them what they want. He's putting an end to carbon controls and climate. All this climate change denial seems to be something that Trump's all about. He thinks it's all a scam and a conspiracy, Chinese conspiracy, which the evidence doesn't seem to suggest at all. I think if you actually read into it, it's possibly more likely some sort of 80s Thatcherite conspiracy than anything else, if it is in fact a conspiracy. I mean, I have a feeling that, my opinion on climate change varies, but I think there probably is something to it myself. But anyway, that's an entirely different subject. But he's come out today with these different agendas for what's coming, but they're all very, very extreme, hawkish, and generally quite scary, really. None of them really inspire hope or instill any sense of happiness, I think. They're all quite dark and the kind of thing a dictator would do. So we're talking about increasing spending on the military, massively increasing spending on the military. We're talking about a Star Wars missile defense program that's going to be far better than anything they've ever even considered before. All this weird, crazy stuff that's so out there that it's almost like something out of a James Bond film, really. It doesn't seem like it's grounded in reality at the moment. But maybe a lot of this will come down a notch eventually once Trump starts to realize that the presidency and the nature of government isn't quite as straightforward. But you know what? Trump's a smart guy, and he's got people around him that are all on his side and all up for this extreme conservative agenda. And perhaps he's going to pull it off. Perhaps he's going to get his way. He apparently, in both houses, in the Senate, he basically is in control. He's got a majority. So the checks and balances have almost failed. They've almost all tilted in his favour. So he's got a hell of a lot of free rein, from what I can tell, which is, it is scary. And I must say, I'm less inclined to be for Trump now than I was back in November. But I'm not going to rule the guy out. I still think that there is a chance he may deliver on certain things, and he may actually end up being a better president than people expect. But personally, I'm starting to suspect that won't be the case. I think this guy may not even last 4 years. That's just my outlook on this. Simply because of what's happened over the last few weeks, and really as a result of that inauguration event. And that was almost like something out of a RoboCop film. That's sort of what it felt like to me. It felt like this very low-key, morbid affair where it didn't really look like that many people had turned up, certainly nothing compared to Barack Obama in 2009. But it's not really about the numbers. It was more about the general vibe and mood of it. The motorcade was just sort of chugging along. There was no, I didn't really get the sense of any joy or any celebration in the air. And then his speech was, it was dark. It was a sort of very aggressive speech that was, it was implying that things were terrible and he was here to save everyone from carnage and from war and from drugs and from crime. But this is all the sort of thing that you get in sci-fi RoboCop style dystopia, this idea that you've got this great leader that can come in and change everything and save everybody. And I don't know, it all just seemed quite, it almost seemed like a smokescreen for things he actually wants to achieve to please his buddies. And I saw a documentary on TV this week about how he's basically in there with all the big oil companies. He's got massive stocks of shares in a lot of these companies. He's friends with all the big CEOs of the oil companies, and he's going to be pushing for fossil fuel usage big time. He's pro fracking, majorly pro fracking, and he's going to pretty much dismiss all of the environmental concerns that many put forward during Obama's administration. He's backing out of various agreements. Some perhaps it's a good thing, like TTIP, which I think was extremely controversial anyway. But he's also backing out of carbon emission agreements, things like this. This is all very extreme, and it's all potentially going in the absolute wrong direction, I would say. But people like Alex Jones on InfoWars are still extremely pro-Trump and extremely positive about him. And I'm not going to say, like many have said, that Alex Jones is now just a propaganda artist. I still feel that Alex Jones has credibility, and I think he means well, but I'm worried that he's falling for Trump, and he's basically taking it way, way too far. And maybe in a year or two, or even sooner than that, we may be in a situation where Alex Jones has to back down on a lot of what he's currently claiming, which is that Trump is here to bring back the great America, and essentially another 1776 style revolution is at hand, because it doesn't look like it is, from what I can tell. It just looks like a very right wing conservative agenda is about to come in, and it's going to infuriate many. I mean, a lot of people will be happy about it, but I think we could start seeing extreme civil unrest in the States, because this is an extreme agenda. This is militarism. This is hardcore protectionist America now, basically bringing up the drawbridge, building an even more powerful military than they've already got, talking about missile space defense systems, which is straight out of the Cold War, and it's the sort of thing that Reagan was talking about, but it never really happens. But I think Trump, he's going to push for it, because the generals are going to love this guy, because he's everything they want from a president. He's hawkish, he's pro-military, he's all about conflict, essentially. Secretly, I personally think Trump's probably looking to start to war, because I think Trump is a war president. I think Trump's going to want to get in there somewhere. Let's hope it's not going to be a big war like China or something, but it may be Iran, because apparently a lot of people in Trump's team, including Mad Dog Mattis, they are pro the notion that America should go to war with Iran. They're very hawkish about that. So it's very scary. It is very scary what we could see coming. But also on the flip side of that, when we look at Brexit in the UK and Nigel Farage and all this business, Trump is very pro-Brexit. And I still maintain that Brexit was right for Britain, although it's a very contentious area. But I still feel like we did do the right thing, and I think we're going to end up in a few years' time in a better position than we would have been if we'd have stayed in the EU. But who knows? I mean, let's see what happens. But Trump's talking about this amazing trade deal with the UK. I mean, let's see if it happens. It's going to be interesting to see if that happens, because it's the sort of thing that sounds like it's salesman talk at the moment. but will he actually deliver the goods? Will he actually go, or Theresa May, will she go over to the States, meet Trump, and actually agree to something really good for both parties? Who knows? You know, who knows? Nigel Farage is obviously going to be instrumental. And Nigel Farage is now, apparently he's taken a job with Fox News, so he's going to be a sort of special Fox News presenter, I think. He may have a slot, a bit like Bill O'Reilly or somebody like that. That'll be interesting. But I hope it doesn't change Nigel Farage, because I think that kind of thing has the potential to sort of change the guy and make him almost like a shadow of his former self, which hopefully won't happen. Because I think Nigel Farage needs to avoid media and stay in politics, and hopefully that will be what we continue to see. But yeah, it's a very interesting time, and this year is going to be fascinating the way it plans out. I mean, already today, first day of Trump's presidency, he's signing controversial acts, repealing Obamacare, which I don't really know a lot about. I mean, from what I've read, it's not really that bad. It's quite a good scheme. It's not really that comparable to the NHS, but it's heading towards that sort of socialised medical care. But many Americans are just anti that. They don't want that. And Trump is appealing to those people, and he's basically giving those hardcore conservative types what they want, which is completely backing away from any notion that America is at all socialist, moving well away from that concept. And perhaps Obama and the Democrats were slowly tilting America in that direction. So anyway, it's fascinating. But the speech, if you've not heard it yet, I'm going to add it into the end of this episode, just because you may not have heard it. And sometimes it's good to have these things on records for, you know, future reference and things. It's not sinister, but then again, maybe it is sinister. There are undertones of darkness in this speech. I mean, that the first time I've heard it three times now. The first time I heard it, I just thought it was just generic and not great. But then a journalist pointed out that actually that was quite dark speech, and it was bringing back sort of the undertones of 1920s, almost fascist American politicians who were against the idea that America should ever enter a war with Germany to, you know, take on Hitler, all this sort of thing. Protectionist, isolationist, that kind of thing. Very extreme patriotism, that sort of thing. And talking about America, literally in Bob Morton RoboCop style terms, the idea that there's a cancer, the cancer is crime, the solution, Ed 209, you know, essentially, if you get the RoboCop reference there. But that's almost like what Trump was doing. It was almost just, there's an evil in the world, we must destroy the evil. And going on about ISIS and fundamentalist Islamic terrorism, he was not just saying he's continuing the war, he was saying he is going to eradicate it. Well, what does that mean? I mean, that probably means massive, massive bombing campaigns in sections of Iraq, sections of Afghanistan, perhaps even Syria. He may end up doing a deal with Putin to allow USS airplanes into Syria more, to do massive sorties. Because I think Trump wants more combat. I think Trump wants to see America knee-deep in the mud of combat, of conflict. And I'm not entirely sure how it's going to pan out, but I think there's a very good Netflix series which is based on a British show from the late 80s, early 90s, called House of Cards. And I've seen both the British one and the US one. They're both brilliant. But the US one is all about how the president in that show, his opinion polls, his approval ratings have dropped. They've gone off a cliff. And as a result of that, he decides that the only thing he can do to improve the situation is to create a war. And I don't think there's a major war in the show, but it's basically sort of like a bombing campaign or something along those lines, if I remember right. And as soon as that happens, America rallies and everyone gets with the president because he's the commander-in-chief. And I think Trump wants that. I think Trump wants to be the commander-in-chief, a bit like George W. Bush on the aircraft carrier during 2003. It's that sort of thing during the Iraq War. So the other interesting thing as well, something I read this morning, was apparently Trump, and I couldn't believe this at first, but I read it on multiple news sites, including The Telegraph. Apparently Trump did actually request the military parades up and down the square in Washington as he was getting inaugurated, aka sort of North Korea, Russia style, with all of the latest American tanks and missile launches and things, sort of like military parade, proper dictator style, like Kim Jong style. And apparently they did get the request, and they rejected the request. They denied it, partly because of the fact that these tanks are too heavy for roads and they could actually damage the roads, but also perhaps because they just felt it was completely inappropriate, or maybe they just didn't have it logistically. Maybe it was just too challenging. I'm sure they could have done it if they really wanted, but it was almost a sort of thing. It was almost like a diktat from a dictator. You know, I want the military here giving, I want to see all the tanks up and down. It was bizarre. So it's such a stark comparison to the previous president, who I've got mixed feelings about the previous president. I think he was a bit sneaky, and I think he was a bit underhand, and I think Alex Jones has exposed a lot of that. But anyway, so let's see what happens. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm ruling Trump out already, but I'm worried. I am a bit worried. I think we could see a very interesting year ahead, and I think we could start seeing civil unrest in the States. We're even seeing it in London. There were small pockets of protest in London as a result of Trump, and perhaps in other countries as well. And I think there's many out there that probably just still can't quite get over the fact that we now have a situation where Donald Trump is president. It's just kind of bizarre. It almost feels like a parallel universe we've suddenly stepped into. You know, it's interesting. But let's see what he does. He might deliver, he might end up being great, but I've just got this feeling he's not going to last 4 years. I don't know why, but I've just got this feeling something's going to happen that's going to end up Richard Nixon style resignation, some sort of controversial gate will happen. But anyway, I mean, who knows? And I'll certainly keep an eye on it. I'm sure all our listeners will be fascinated and as drawn to it as we are. So there we go, Donald Trump.
Chief Justice Roberts, President Carter, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, fellow Americans, and people of the world, thank you. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Together, we will determine the course of America and the world for many, many years to come. We will face challenges. We will confront hardships. But we will get the job done. Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. And we are grateful to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for their gracious aid throughout this transition. They have been magnificent. Thank you. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning, because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. That all changes, starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017, will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. We are one nation, and their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. And spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. we've made other countries rich, while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores, with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world. But that is the past, and now we are looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. America will start winning again, winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation. We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world. But we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America, and through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. Finally, we must think big and dream even bigger. In America, we understand that a nation is only living as long as it is striving. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining but never doing anything about it. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. Do not allow anyone to tell you that it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will not fail. Our country will thrive and prosper again. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget, that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same Almighty Creator. So to all Americans, in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. And your courage and goodness and love will forever guide us along the way. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you. God bless America.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.